Well, it's a blessing to be able to preach here again. It's been quite a while. I think the last time I was here was over 3.5 years ago, right before COVID, during the Christmas time. And then we moved during COVID, so we didn't get a chance to come up here. We went over to the Vancouver area to be able to see them before we headed off. So it's been a while, but it's good to be back and to see a lot of familiar faces. And it's just a blessing. And thank you for having me the opportunity. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. Before we read any scripture, I want to ask a question. And I want you to think on it just for a few moments before we start to read. And the question is, what motivates God? What motivates God to do what he does? To act the way that he acts? You read through the Bible, what motivated God throughout the Bible when we read about him and what he did? What is the thing that motivates God to do all the things that he has done? Not just in the Bible, but even today in us and through us and to us. What motivates the Lord? And I think God gives us the answer here in 1 John chapter 4. Let's start reading in verse number 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." Look at these next four words. "For God is love." God is love. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." Now, before we continue on reading here, he is writing specifically to Christians. So when he says that if we love one another, God dwells in us, if we as Christians in our church love one another, we are showing God to each other, because God is love. God is love. "And his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." And here it is again. God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Let's pray and ask God to bless this message. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for the love that you give us each and every single day. And Lord, we thank you for just thinking about us and caring about us, and just the things you do for us each and every day that we don't even realize. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Bless this message and speak to the hearts of people in your name. Amen. You know, one of the greatest attributes of God has to be his love. Has to be his love. And that's because out of his love comes all the good things that we have today. All of it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God loves us so much. So the question is then, what is love? If God is love, what is love? How do we know what love is? Well, the Bible tells us. Many of you know the love chapter. We're going to turn over to love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And we're going to kind of work backwards through the chapter instead of moving forwards through the chapter. We're going to move backwards through the chapter and describe how God is everything that this chapter says about love and about, in the Bible, in this chapter says charity. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13 says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity." Charity. God's love. God's love. Let's look at verse number 8, and we're going to go backwards through this list of what the Bible says charity is. Charity is. Verse number 8 says, "Charity never faileth." No, God's love never fails. It never fails. True love, God's kind of love, never fails. It endureth all things. Verse 7, at the very end, endureth all things. God's love is going to endure through all time. You know, some people think that, you know, what Christ did is going to stop when time stops. No, it's going to endure for all time. It is done, it completed, and it continues on forever. It hopeth all things, believeth all things, beareth all things, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. When we see somebody act in this kind of way, it moves us, doesn't it? You think of a mother and her child. I think of that verse number 7, with the mother and her child, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A mother sees her son going wayward, but she's like, I know one day he's going to turn out right. Right? I'm praying for him. I know. I love him. I hope it turns out right. There's that hope that they always have that their child is going to do the right thing. And that love will last, won't it? It's going to last. It will endure through everything. No matter what that child does, the mom's going to be like, I still love him. It endures, right? It endures. And that kind of love moves us, doesn't it? When we see people act in this way. But what we can do here, and when it says charity, we can put the word God in, because God is love, right? God suffereth long. Aren't you glad God suffers long with us? I mean, you just look through the Old Testament. There was an example this morning that Brother Rick was showing in Jeremiah where he said, if you wanted to write these words, give it to them again. Because it just maybe they might hear. Maybe they will listen. Maybe they will get right with God. He's like, if there's just a slight chance, God's going to give somebody another chance. If he says, if they hear it again, God wants to push back his judgment because he loves people. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He suffers long. Next, it says, is kind. Aren't you glad God is kind? When you do wrong, God doesn't just go, wham! Right? He doesn't. He's kind. The Bible says to speak the truth in love. Anybody know somebody like that? Sometimes the truth can be hard, can it? Have you ever had somebody that can speak the truth, but yet somehow the edge is taken off it, but they still get the point across of what needs to be said? Anybody know somebody like that? It makes you love them more. Because you're like, man, they really want to tell me, but they're not just coming and just beating you up, right? They're not just beating you up. They're trying to encourage you, and you can see that in them, right? You can see as they encourage you, hey, you need to stop this. This is not going to lead you in the right way. This is what God has for you. And they're showing you, speaking the truth in love. That's what God does. God is kind. God is kind. God envieth not. God vaunteth not himself. He's not puffed up. God doth not behave himself unseemly. God does not seek his own. I mean, you just have to look at the life of Christ to know that God does not seek his own. Yeah. I mean, if we had a choice in life, You have two choices. To be rich or to be poor. I think I know what all of us would choose. And all of us are like, oh, I'm super spiritual. I choose to be poor. Right? No, we all choose to be rich more than likely. And I probably fall in that same boat. But you know what God chose? He chose to be poor on purpose. He was God, he had it all, but he chose to be poor. He chose to be poor. He didn't vaunt himself up when he was born. He didn't make himself known to all the kings and princes and everybody. Like, I'm here. He's born in a stable and made known to the shepherds and to those that people didn't really care about, to the lowly. That's who God is. He didn't seek his own. Another great example of Jesus, John the Baptist is killed, and one of his family members, so he wants to get away. That's understandable, right? Wants to get away, one of his family members is killed, so he goes away. Word gets out of where he's going, and a large group of people come to follow him. A large group of people. And they come to him the next day, and they want to be healed by him. And what does he do? I know what I would do. Get away from me. I'm going through a hard time right now. I don't need all the people. And I would just probably do that. I don't need all the people. Right? But what does Jesus do? He spends the entire day healing people. Not caring about himself. He looks over the city of Jerusalem and begins to weep over the city. He weeps. He was made fun of, mocked. Everything you could think of. Now, people ask, why does God let bad things happen to good people? If there is a God, why do evil things happen? Well, man messed it up. But you know what's more incredible is that God chose to go through every hard thing for us so that we could get to him. You ever felt rejected? He was. You ever felt betrayed? He was, by one of his closest friends. One of the closest friends to him betrayed him. You ever have people make fun of you? What? You ever have people want to kill you? Jesus did. They wanted to stone him. And when the Bible says we have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Jesus knows what it's like to go through hard times. His whole life was hard times. All right? His whole life was hard times. His life was not easy. It was a hard life. But he did it for us. Because God does not seek his own. He sought us. He sought us. God is not easily provoked. I'm so glad that when I do something wrong, it doesn't just cause God to fly off the handle. Sometimes my kid does the same thing over and over again. Probably parents say, you may go out. What is wrong with you? Right?
Amen.
Amen, right? But God's not like that. And I should try to be like God. Because God is not easily provoked. He's not. I'm so glad that he decides, you know what? I know who Andrew is. He's gonna sin every once in a while, all the time. He's gonna sin. But you know what? I still love him. And I know what's best for him. And I'm going to try to bring him along. To be closer to me. Aren't you glad that God is like that?
Amen.
God doesn't think evil. God doesn't look at me and think, oh, I just hope something bad happens to Andrew today. God doesn't think evil on people. There's some people they just thrive on thinking about evil about other people, right? How many of you know somebody like that? It's like, all of a sudden they're like, man, I just wish something bad would happen to them. You're just like, what's the matter with you? God's not like that. Because God has thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring us an expected end. God does not rejoice in iniquity. People think that when bad things happen, God kind of gets a kick out of it. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. It hurts him. But he rejoices in the truth. I'm glad that God bears all things, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God believeth all things. Now, this is not believing like everything, but the idea that he He believes in us. Or else he wouldn't have died for us, right? He hopeth all things. When Jesus Christ was dying, he was hoping that all mankind would come to him. He tasted death for every man so that all men could come to him. And the Bible says he endured all things for us. And it's never going to fail. Now, why I say that love is God's greatest motivation? Because if it wasn't his greatest motivation, and if it wasn't for God's love, everything he did wouldn't have mattered. Now, why would you say that? Well, look at the first three verses. I really want to bring this point across. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Have you ever seen something, like maybe a movie or something, and the guy does some heroic act for somebody, and then it comes out that his motivation was wrong? You think of him as a jerk, don't you? Like, he wants his name in the paper, he wants to be famous, and that's why he did what he did. We think, automatically think bad of him, right? But if that was flopped, right, and it's because he had this love for somebody, all of a sudden we're just entranced with them, and people begin to cry, right? What was the difference? They both did the same thing. One did it out of love, one did it out of making a name for themselves. You know, God doesn't do what he does to make a name for himself. He doesn't. Listen, if God, which he can do all these things, but let's just put this, if God could do all these things but he didn't love us, would it really matter? Would it matter? If God was standing here right now and said, mountain, that mountain up there, you can see it through the window, be moved over there, and God moves it over there, and we'd all go, that's impressive. We would. But if he doesn't love you, does it really matter? Does it matter? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. And that's what he says here. I am nothing. I'm nothing. If God, he just spoke with all the tongues, and if God was just doing all these things, but he didn't love us and didn't die for us, would any of those things that he did matter? Because God's greatest motivation is his love. God loves us. Why did he die on the cross? Why did he come? Because of his love. I mean, he's crazy, in a sense, right? Just out of the love for us, he wanted us to be with him. At the very end of the book of Revelation, says this, at the very end, Jesus says, it is done. What's done? When everybody's with him that has accepted Christ as their Savior, he says, it's done. I will be their God and they will be my people. Why would God do that? Because he loves us so much. Now, if God loves us that much, what should we do in response to God's love? Because you know what? God tells us to do certain things because he loves us. Let's go back to 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul says, the love of Christ constraineth us. That means the love of God should be your greatest motivation in your life. What you do should be out of God's love for you. Why should you love God? Because he first loved you. 1 John chapter number 4. There are two things that we should do because of his love. 1 John chapter number 4. Let's start back in verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. You know what true love is? It's when somebody loves you even when you're unlovable. That's true love. God didn't look at me and say, man, he deserves my love. I'm going to give him some love. God looked and said, man, Andrew's helpless without me. He was not going to get anything from me, right? Is there anything that I can give God that he doesn't have? That's true love. When we love without expecting anything in return. And send his son to be the propitiation for our sins. First thing, beloved, if God so loved us, what should we do because God loves us? We ought also to love one another. You know what this church needs to do? They need to love one another. They need to love one another. That's so important. And remember, in that love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it is in the scope of spiritual gifts. Right before that verse, chapter 13, it says, I show you a more excellent way. And what is the greatest thing? Charity. If a church was focused on doing the excellent way, not worrying about who has the gift of prophecy and who gets to speak and who gets to do that, but if the church decided that we're going to love one another, now do we need to have people doing certain things in the church? Absolutely. But if everybody decided they were going to have charity and love one another as God loved them, wouldn't that be an amazing church to be a part of? That means if somebody did you wrong, what are you going to do? You're going to forgive them. Why? Because God loves you, and you need to love one another.
Right.
So you'll forgive. Somebody accidentally does something on the way out. Maybe somebody accidentally hurt your feelings, and you make it right instead of getting mad at each other. Because why? And if God loved me when I was unlovable, I can love other people too.
Mm.
I can love other people too.
Right.
And when we let the love of God consume us, and constrain us, and we begin to love other people, it's a marvelous thing because the people outside begin to see. Jesus said this to his disciples, hereby shall other men know that you are my disciples, not by them moving mountains, not by them healing sick people, not by them telling the crippled man to get up and walk, but by your love one for another. If a church decided that we just need to love each other and love God, that church can do some amazing things. What are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And if everybody in a local body, in a church, decided that they were going to love each other as God loved them, it would be an amazing church. Now, everybody's not as lovable as other people are. Everybody agree with that, right? There's some people like, man, they're just hard to love. But guess what? God doesn't pick favorites. God loves everybody. When God died, he didn't just say, I died for this group of people. No, God died for everyone. And our love should be for everyone. In fact, one of the things Jesus got made fun of is because he was a friend of the publicans and sinners. He was associated with them that needed it. And the Pharisees came and said, well, why would you do something like that? He goes, those that are holy, not a physician, but those that are sick. And he said, don't you think I should care about these people? The Pharisees were so consumed with themselves, they missed the point, they missed the boat. And the boat was the love of God. And they missed out on it. And they were all consumed with themselves and how they looked and how they were perceived, instead of saying, there are people that need to be loved, like God loved me. Just like God loved me. I'm so glad for God's love. You know, the greatest acts done in this world have been motivated by the greatest love. And we all recognize this, don't we? And of course, the greatest act of love being the cross and everything that Christ went through just for me, just for you. You know, when he was in the garden, he was under such immense pressure that he began to sweat drops of blood. Just listen to a preacher. He was talking about this, and it said that Jesus became sore amazed when he was in the garden. That God must have revealed something to Jesus at this time. He thought it was referring to the fact that he said, you have to become sin. He's like, I have to do that? He knew he was going to have to die. But I have to do that? And it was under such intense pressure that he began to sweat drops of blood. And it's actually happened two other times in history where somebody's actually sweat drops of blood, the capillaries burst. The capillaries are what connect your vein and arteries. And your blood begins to seep out your pores. And you have to be under immense pressure for that to happen, which is why it's only been reported a couple of times in history. Jesus being one, another example. I can't remember the exact situation. That was a while back that I researched that out. But incredible amount of pressure. He was under such immense pressure that the angel had to come minister to him to give him the strength to go on. He gets to the point of carrying the cross up the hill. Jesus gave every last ounce of strength he had. Because if he had any more, he would have carried that cross up the hill. I really believe that. The Bible doesn't tell us that exactly, but I really do believe that. He gave every last bit of strength he had for you. And what are we willing to do for others? What are we willing to do for others? Do we have that kind of love for each other in this church? Is there any bitterness being held against anybody that needs to be taken care of? Because if it's not taken care of, the love of God is not there. It's not. And if you say you love God, the Bible says you're a liar. Because how can you love, not love somebody that you do know and see? How can you claim you love someone that you don't see? And let's look at here, at the very end here, verse number 20, 1 John 4. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? If there's stuff going on between people in the church, that's not God's love being shown, is it? It's not. There needs to be that forgiveness. You know what? I did God wrong, but in spite of that, what did God do? He loved me. I could do just the most heinous things, and guess who will still love me no matter what? God will. Because nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to love one another. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13. How do we know that we love one another? How do we know that we love God? Well, it's very easy. This tells us what love is, right? If we can say God is long-suffering, can we say, Andrew, suffereth long? Could we say, you put your name in there, could you say, you suffer long? Could we say, you are kind? Could we say that you don't envy? Can we say you vaunt not yourself? Can we say that you don't puff yourself up? Can we say that you don't seek your own? Can we say that you're not easily provoked or you don't think any evil? Can we say those things about you? If you can, then we know that God's love is there and God's love is being shown. You see someone who is suffering long and is kind and is not envying and vaunteth not themselves and is not puffed up and doth not behave themselves unseemly and don't seek their own and is not easily provoked and doesn't think evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity but rejoiceth in the truth and beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I will show you someone who is loving one another as God's told them to. Right? Does that mean we're perfect? No, but we strive. And why should we do all of this? Why should we strive to suffer long? Why should we strive to be kind? Why should we strive to do these things? Because God loved me. And because God loved you. I don't know why God loves us. I really don't. I mean, God's the most powerful being out there. And yet he takes an interest in all of us and wants us to be with him. I don't understand that. But I should let the love of God in my heart work in me so that, number one, I love God, and then, number two, I love other people too. And I'll tell you this, you get a church that loves God and loves each other and loves the people around this place, you will see a church that is like God. Why? Because God is love. You are never more like God than when you love others, like He did. When you love like God loves, you become an extension of God's love. You become an extension of His love. Because the world does not understand this kind of love, do they? I mean, we see these things in movies where this kind of love is shown, and it makes people cry. Why does it make people cry? Because maybe we don't see it enough in the real world, right? Right? Wouldn't it be amazing to see that kind of love everywhere? But guess who's shown it first? We love Him because He first loved us. God loves us. And we ought to love one another just as God loves us. I don't know where you're at today, whether there's something wrong between you and somebody else or whether there's some issue going on. But here's what I do know. If you say you love God, you need to get it right and begin to love others. Does that mean that everybody becomes your best friend? That's not what love means. It means that you're doing rightly other people like God does. Right? You treat them with respect and with love like God would treat them. I mean, is God going to go out badmouth other people? I don't think God's in heaven going, you know, man, that Andrew, let me tell you about him. You know? And just, by the way, God hates when we do that about other people too, right? When we start gossiping and saying bad things about other people. That's not God's love. It's not. That's not the love that God wants us to have. We need to be like Him in the way we interact with people, speaking the truth in love. And there's that love that goes around. Some people try to shy away from God's love, thinking, you know, we don't want to talk so much about God's love we forget about His judgment. But the thing is this. God wants to push away His judgment. And we have Christians who have it flip-flopped, right? They want to go out and judge other people. You know, all these people are going to, you know, go to hell and all this other stuff, right? When they should be saying, God loves them and I want to love them too and I want to see them come to Christ. What a totally different response, right? Totally different response. One is the response of God. The other is the response of condemning. God didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It is not our job to condemn people. That's God's job. And one day God will condemn people that have not followed Him. It's our job to love others as God loved us. And to live in a way that honors and glorifies Him. As He went through everything that He went through, we should be willing to go through whatever we can to try to love others too. Just like Jesus Christ did. The Lord spoke into your heart. Or if there's something wrong with somebody or anything, get it right tonight. No reason to push it off. God didn't push off His love, right? When the time was right, God gave His love and He gave Himself for it, for us. Let's strive to love God and to love others. Let's pray.